Welcome to Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.
Q is about conversation.
If we're really concerned about ending poverty, we've got to be more concerned about creating justice.
Our cultural products as Christians need to both defy and resonate with the culture.
And God's doing amazing things. His church is expanding. His church is growing.
It's not what's the purpose of my life. It's what is the purpose that's been assigned.
Stay curious. Think well. Advance good. This is Q.
Thanks for joining us for Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons. I'm Paul Perreault from Faith Radio, and this week we're going to talk about hope in the midst of some very dark issues. And because of that, I would like to preface this that some of the descriptions may be a bit much for younger ears. So if you'd like, you can listen to this later when little ears aren't present at myfaithradio.com. And with that, Gabe, can you tell us more about this week's show?
We're going to hear a talk from Noelle Yates. She's the vice president of World Help, and in that role, she has been around the world and observed what's happening around the globe. What is the plight of women? And we asked her to do this talk because we knew it was important for us to understand not just what is the Western view of women and how are women doing in Western cultures, but also what about in developing worlds and in countries that don't always have the same access to some of the possibilities or the same rights. And so in this talk, she really helps walk through the stories of women and the way in which women are being impacted in difficult ways. And she talks about specifically the sex trafficking problem that's happening around the world. She's been very intricately involved in this personally through her own work. She even wrote a book called Awake, Doing a World of Good, One Person at a Time. She lives in Virginia, and she's somebody who I think you're going to find quite compelling. And it's one of those talks where I'd encourage you to go online and watch at qideas.org because she has several slides that she walks through that she won't get to appreciate by listening only to the talk. But I think you'll understand from listening to the talk that her heart is for women. Her heart is for us as a church to understand what's happening and to bring those stories front and center to make us a little bit uncomfortable as we think about the justice that's needed in the lives of these women. So let's listen in now to Noelle Yates.
You may choose to look the other way, but you can never again say that you did not know. And those famous words from William Wilberforce, they now haunt me because now I know. And I guess I had always heard the stories, but I first stepped foot into that darkness, and it was gut-wrenching and heartbreaking to see women treated merely as animals with no concern for their lives or well-being. And by far the moment that broke me was when I went inside a dancing bar in the heart of the red light district in Bangkok, Thailand. I don't say any of this to be exploitive or to get a reaction, but to simply tell you the truth. But the truth is, there really are no words to describe what I experienced in there. What you think probably shocked me was really not the case. It wasn't the graphic nature of the girls dancing, but rather it was the interaction between the girls and the customers. Because you see, each girl, they were numbered. Small pieces of paper pinned to whatever threads of clothing that they may have had on. But while they were just numbers, they might as well have read broken, unloved, worthless, captive, slave, because that's what I saw behind their empty eyes. It was like they were marked and tagged like cattle, and men simply called out whatever number they wanted as if they were being sold to the highest bidder. We estimated there was probably 200 girls in the bar that night just based on their numbers. It was degrading, it was disgusting, and it was completely infuriating. And I found myself surrounded by men, many American, who had no shame in what they were doing. You see, all of this started back during the Vietnam War when soldiers would come to Thailand for their R&R. And you fast forward 40 years, and now you have a booming industry with 9.4 million men coming to Thailand every year for sex. And before you try to convince yourself that these are all seedy-looking men, they're not. Many of them look like your next-door neighbor or someone you would go to church with. And it was all I could do to stay strong while I was in that bar. I had stayed strong for days, hearing story after story of women affected by this work. But what I was seeing on that night was too much. And I finally made it out of that bar to our van waiting nearby. And when I got in the van, I lost it. I mean, I literally lost it. I was sobbing, ugly cry. I felt like that character in the movie The Green Mile that breathed in everybody's pain and suffering. And it was like I had breathed in so much evil and I just had to get it out. And you know, we've all heard that quote that God never gives us more than we can handle, right? But I don't believe it anymore. I believe God often does just that. He gives us way more than we could ever handle on our own. And our Thai World Help partner, she was sitting there patiently waiting for me to regain my composure. She does this work day in and day out. She has seen it all. And when I finally could get some words out, I simply just said, "How do you do this? How do you do this every day?" And she just said, "If we don't go in there, who will?" You know, the greatest injustice of poverty is that it robs people of choices, and women are impacted the most. But while so many of them may not have a choice, I do. And I can choose to look the other way and ignore the injustices happening all around me, or I can choose to live my life awake enough to make a difference. And as we talk about the state of women today, there's so many things that I could share with you. I could tell you about how many women live in extreme poverty. I could tell you about how the search for clean water around the world robs young girls of an education. I could tell you how gender-based violence kills more girls than cancer, malaria, and even traffic accidents combined. But instead, I want to go about this from a different angle this morning. And to do that, I need your help. Because today, on the planet, there's about 7.5 billion people. And out of that, about 3.7 billion are women. So I'm going to ask all of you to stand up with me. And as you're standing up, I want you to look around and kind of absorb this, because we in this room, we're going to represent the global population of women. 3.7 billion. Okay, you got it? All right, before you get too comfortable, I want everybody to sit down except for these first two rows. Everybody else sit down. Now, you here in the first two rows, you're going to represent the population of American women. There's 164 million American women today. Now, here's what I want you all to get, the ones that are standing as you're looking at them. That's less than 5% of the global population. So we here in the United States represent less than 5%. So perhaps as we're talking about the state of women, we should be looking at the whole room and not just the first two rows. You guys can sit down. Thank you. And this morning, that's what I want to share with you. I want to talk to you about the choices facing women today and the choices so many women deserve. And as I share with you these stories and introduce you to these women, I'm hoping that your minds and hearts will be imprinted and tagged and even branded, if you will, by the choices that these women have to make.
We'll have more from Noelle in just a few moments, talking about the state of women in the world. This message is part of a larger group of messages around the theme, "What does it look like to care for the most vulnerable today?" On that theme, we'd like to hear an excerpt from another message delivered at a recent Q conference. This is by Meredith Turing, who went to China to help out with orphans overseas. And as you listen, it will likely blow away many of our preconceived notions about the orphan crisis, and also give us ideas for a more gospel-empowered response. Let's listen.
What do we hear and what do we think of when we hear the phrase "the least of these"? We hear this phrase and it immediately brings to mind the orphan crisis, the 153 million children around this world, and it begs us to grapple for a response. If you're like me, you're thinking in your head right now, adoption. That was my upbringing. That was my mentality. I am the oldest of six children, and my parents adopted four children from Far East Russia and from China. It was so much a part of my story that I kind of thought I had this how to care for orphans well formula completely figured out backwards and forwards. It also was so much a part of my story that I decided to pack up my life and move myself to Beijing, China, to take over as the international director for Morningstar, which takes care of critically ill heart babies that need to come to Beijing for heart surgery. Since I've been there, God has kind of turned my world upside down in all of the best ways and all of the hard ways, as he always does. So orphanages from all over China have thousands and thousands and thousands of children with these special needs. All of them have critical medical issues. They call me when they have babies with heart defects that come in and they say, hey, we have this baby. Can you help them? They need to have surgery. And I'll say, yes, please send them. And they'll come and they'll live with me. As I have explored what it means to care for the orphan and how to stand for them and fight for them and how do we solve the orphan crisis, the crux of it has really just hit me in the face. It honestly has broken my heart. Because of a lack of medical insurance in China, because of poverty, because of inaccessible or unaffordable medical care, parents are forced to make the most heartbreaking decision in the world. They have to choose whether they're going to bring their child home from the hospital to die, or they choose to abandon them and hope beyond hope that an orphanage will send them to a home like mine to receive the heart surgery that they need. They hope and pray that somehow their child will be one of the few that gets adopted to the United States to have a loving family. They have to choose to let their baby go in hopes that they will receive the care that they need, the care that those parents can't provide. Children are abandoned because it's the only way to save their lives. These heartbroken blue little babies needing heart surgery, devoid of oxygen, they're left outside of hospitals and they come to my home many times with notes from their mamas and daddies. Notes that say, please, please help my baby. You guys, those notes destroy me because that should never be the case. No parent should have to write that note when there are people like us in a position to come alongside them. Family preservation, orphan prevention. 3 years ago, I had no idea what these words meant. I had no idea what they looked like. I didn't really even know that that was a thing. The orphan crisis is real, and the need is overwhelming, and God has been continually opening my eyes to his heart for the least of these, for his unconditional love, and the ways that that sometimes doesn't look like the little formula that I had played out in my brain. Adoption can be so highly emphasized as the church's response to the orphan crisis, and it's for good reason. Please hear me. It is so important. I have four siblings through adoption, and it is so, so important. But statistically, in 2016, just over 2,000 Chinese children were adopted to the United States. There are estimated to be close to 1 million orphans in China. Adoption can never be the answer to the orphan crisis. It's but a drop in the bucket, and a good drop. But compared to what we can do when we come alongside these families, when we equip them and provide necessary resources, when we prevent orphans from becoming orphans in the first place. So when we talk about how we can respond to the call to care for the least of these, yes, adopt. Yes, 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 please adopt. But also, let's stand for the family.
If you'd like to hear the full presentation, go to qideas.org and look for Meredith's message called The Least of These. Let's return to our featured message for this week from Noelle Yates of World Help on the state of women.
Here's the first point I want you to consider. A woman has the right to choose to rise above. The red light districts of Bangkok are overwhelming. There is bright lights and wall-to-wall people, and everywhere you turn, women and girls are being sold. In fact, just steps from my hotel was this huge sign that says, the world's largest adult playground. And it was in this chaos that I met a girl named Om in a bar. And Om had been in the sex industry for a couple years. You see, culturally in Thailand, it's the daughters, the girls' responsibility to financially provide for the family. So they come to the big city looking for work, only to realize they have no education, no skills, and the bars are the only place that offer them a safe place to sleep. They start off as a cashier. One thing leads to another, and before they know it, they're trapped in this industry. I was surprised to hear that Om was just a few years younger than me, and we both had sons the exact same age. And for a split second, I thought, wow, we have so much in common. And then I realized our lives could not be further apart. Because we both love our sons. We both want the best for them. We both want to give them all the opportunities. But I have options on how I do that. I have networks of influences and friends. She has little to no options at all. Poverty has robbed her of all those choices. And it just didn't sit well with me. It didn't seem fair that that girl had had her innocence swept away in an instant simply because she was poor, simply because she lives in an area of the world overcome with poverty. And I love the quote that says, "Let us be the ones to say we are not satisfied that your place of birth determines your right to life. Let us be outraged. Let us be loud. And let us be bold." Those words were spoken by a great theologian named Brad Pitt. Now, I don't claim to know what Brad Pitt believes, but I do know what I believe. And I wish that as people of faith, when we saw the injustices around the world, that that's how we felt, that we wanted to be outraged and loud and bold about it. But too often, we just get overwhelmed. It's uncomfortable to be bold. It's much easier just to be numb and to forget that the world is experiencing unimaginable circumstances of war, conflict, genocide, disease, slavery, and oppression. That's just not part of our everyday life. But if we want women to rise, if we truly want to restore the choices that poverty has stripped away, then we also must rise. We have to be bold enough to make a difference, bold enough to change. Women deserve the right to rise above. And here's the second point I want you to consider. A woman has the right to choose her dreams. Nan's story is heartbreaking because when she was just 11, she was taken from her rural village in Thailand and sold to a family in the city to take care of their elderly parents. But as you can imagine, as an 11-year-old little girl, she was too small to lift that man and woman in and out of bed. So frustrated that she couldn't do the job that they purchased her for, they sold her to a bar. And at that young age, she found herself in the middle of an unspeakable situation in the heart of the sex industry. And for most girls, that's where their story would have ended. But for Nan, it was just the beginning. Because I met Nan and other girls just like her at our safe house right there in the heart of Bangkok. And there they were happy and safe and loved. And for the first time in their life, they thought about dreaming. You see, they were hearing about a God whose love is unconditional. And what I'm starting to see is that hope and dreams go hand in hand. And when you give someone hope, they're finally able to dream. And that's what had happened. Because now Nan is studying to be an engineer. Every girl, every woman deserves the right to dream. A woman has the right to choose life. I want to introduce you to Lakshmi. See, Lakshmi was forced into the sex industry by her parents. She is from a remote tribe in India called the Banchara. In the Indian caste system, the Banchara, they are the lowest of the low. They lack economic opportunities and development opportunities. And really, their beliefs and lifestyle should be kept in secret, but it's lived out in the open for anyone to see. You see, they practice a tradition that goes back 500 years, where the eldest daughter in the family is forced into prostitution at the young age of 12. These girls grow up knowing that that's going to be their future. It happens right under the noses of the parents, to the point that they build a room off of their home for the girls to do their work. And the entire community lives off of the earnings. This is what their whole community is based on. And what makes it even more tragic is what started affecting just the eldest daughter now affects all the girls in the community. And I met Lakshmi, and 10 years after she had entered the trade, she now had 3 children from the same customer. She told me this is the only way to feed her children. And her beautiful daughter walked in while we were talking, 7-year-old daughter. And I was shocked to hear her say that unless something changes, she will have no choice but to force her daughter into the same work. Lakshmi deserves the right to choose life for both herself and her daughter. And we're providing her a way to do just that. Because right there in the heart of the Banchara community is a beautiful building with rows of bunk beds for girls that have been rescued from the sex industry. There they're safe. There they're getting an education. They're learning about a God who loves them. And here's the incredible thing. When you help just one of these girls, you're ending this vicious cycle for generations to come. That means her daughter won't go into the industry, and her daughter, and so on. And here's the final choice I want you to consider. A woman has the right to choose freedom. By far, what impacted me the most in the Banchara community was a visit to a village called Pampur. And it was here that the reality of the dowry system hit home, because not only do the girls have the responsibility to provide financially, but you add the dowry system to that, and it's just overwhelming. Because a dowry is where the parents of the groom have to pay the parents of the bride in order to arrange a wedding. It can range anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000, and that responsibility falls onto the daughters. So you add to that corrupt moneylenders, and these girls can literally end up working the rest of their lives just so their brothers can get married. It was infuriating. And I met an 18-year-old girl named Myrna. She'd been in the industry since she was 12. She has four brothers and four dowries. She will have to work the next 40 years in order to pay off that debt. She told me she's regularly abused and mistreated. That's just to be expected. But most importantly, she told me that if she had a way out, she'd take it. She is longing for the freedom to break this vicious cycle. And I think I would have left that community completely devastated and hopeless, because the next thing I saw was in the background, customers waiting for her. While we were talking to her, the customers were waiting in the background. That was her reality, and I felt like darkness was staring me in the face. But right behind where we were talking to her was a beautiful church building under construction. You see, World Help has been working in this community for the past 2 years, providing clean water. And through that, we won the trust of the community. We proved that we didn't just care about where they would spend eternity. We cared about their lives on earth right now. And at World Help, we call that help for today and hope for tomorrow. And that approach changed everything. Because then pastors were able to go into the village and rescue even more girls and start this church that is not only going to be a place of worship, but a community outreach center, a place to change this culture from the inside out. Because how do you change a 500-year-old tradition? How do you invade such darkness with light, with freedom, physical freedom from the bondage of that work, and spiritual freedom that only comes from the transforming power of God's love? You see, the world has branded these women as unworthy, unloved, broken, slaves, and captive. But God is rebranding them. He has imprinted and tagged on their hearts the words loved, priceless, redeemed, daughter of the king, and set free. These women may feel that they don't have a choice, but we can change that. A woman has the right to choose to rise above, to choose her dreams, to choose life, and to choose freedom. I like to consider myself a strong and powerful woman. And I couldn't be more supportive of women's rights. I want every woman, every girl to realize their dreams. In what seems to be the most divisive time in our history, I'm having trouble finding myself represented in the women's movement of our day. And it's not that I don't think that the issues facing us right here at home are important or compelling. That's not it at all. But as I've watched the masses of women come together to give a voice to the issues of our day, one thought keeps coming to mind, that women represent half the human race, and we here in this room, we only represent a small part of it. So what would happen? How much work could be done? How much good could be accomplished if we focused on the true global issues facing women today? And if we really cared about the common good of our sisters around the globe, maybe we would use our freedom of choice a bit differently. Nelson Mandela once said, "May your choices reflect your hopes, not your fears." May we use our power to choose freedom.
Noelle does a powerful job of helping us better understand something that's just difficult to hear. I mean, it's difficult to hear these stories. It's difficult to have this kind of put front and center for us, to just understand how difficult the lives of some of these women are and the world that they're living in, that they had no choice, no option. It's just been what's presented to them. But therein lies this opportunity for us as the church, as Christians, to engage this, even when it's difficult. And so I'd encourage you to just learn more about their work, how Noelle's leading in this, how she's trying to galvanize more and more people, more and more churches, more and more leaders to step in to this fight that you would think at this point in history would have ended, and yet you realize it's actually grown worse, that there's still challenges ahead of us, that there's so much work to be done, and it's going to take all of us, and it's going to take a multitude of ways of trying to engage this. But I would encourage you to think about World Help as a partner. They're a great partner who's working on this in so many different locations, and specifically in India and Thailand. And I hope that you'll engage with them and think about this and look at Noelle's book, Awake, Doing a World of Good, One Person at a Time. Well, thanks again for being with us for this edition of the Q Podcast. Thank you for learning with us. Thank you for expanding the way you view the world because of your intentional engagement to take time to develop yourself, to expose yourself to other people who are out changing the world and restoring lives and working in some of the most difficult and dire circumstances. But we hope you have an incredible week and that you're inspired to think about how might God want to use you to be a part of advancing good in our society. This show is made possible in partnership with Faith Radio and Northwestern Media.
Thank you for listening to the Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or on your podcast player. And thank you for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.